fishing around here. I've seen that fishing around here hasn't progressed any. Fishermen, there are very few. I think in the future there are much fewer too. You know that fishing the hooks and lines is more of a sport than a means of living. And that's the way that the local fishermen have always been making a living from. There's been money, I heard, I can't prove it, for a fishing association if they should farm one, that they could buy better equipment, that they could fish better and make some more money. Right now, we don't have an efficient carita. There are several ways of fishing, and we can't be supplied by no means of fishing here. Neither with net, neither trawl net, gill net, fish pots, or anything of the kind. Because there hasn't been any progress, I don't know what happened to the local fishermen, why they don't want to associate. I really can't explain. Then, it's a means of living, say, for instance, food production. The old men have died out, some of them as Mr. Tom. You know Mr. Tom on the top here? What's his name? Thomas Hislop. He works with a stick, he has
a long arm.
He was the one who supplied lots of food. Then Mr.
What kind of food?
Yams, potatoes, local vegetables that they use to plant in days gone by. Usually it consists of yams and potatoes, pumpkins, and others, but they don't plant anymore. You don't find no young colored man that say, I have a food garden. You know this coming like in the States where some housewives in the country keep a vegetable plot in the yard. Well, our own here didn't neither have it in the yard nor in the farm anymore.
Why do you think that is?
The younger said never show any interest in food production. Maybe they find it too much of a hard way of making a living or supplying their house. Maybe it seems to them much easier to buy rice than food. So that is almost buying out of the local history of the place. Progress in fishing, food production, charcoal. Maybe after a while, we tell us to be buying charcoal from some other part of the country. But not that which is being produced here, for there won't be any. Mm-hmm. Everybody look at it as a dangerous means of living. For your cash cold easily, nobody tried to look at a more progressive way to avoid catching cold and building stronger kilns and so on. So, I think those are part of where we're losing part of the farmer days of living. Cocoa farming is going backward too. Though we have an extension agency here, maybe they would be willing to do anything, but if there were enough young farmers.
It's going down because the young farmers aren't interested in...
There aren't any young farmers. So if you don't have no young farmers, no one's going, there hasn't been advance, you see. Mm-hmm. Along the years, there won't be any.
I talked with a young man here a few days ago, Delroy Smith, Ermelin, and Anil Smith's son, who's running
Anil,
the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that he can't see why there isn't a cacao processing plant in Talamanca. Talamanca is actually the area that produces most of the cocoa in the country. And yet the processing plants are in San Jose. And he says, you know, why shouldn't we have a processing plant right here? That way we make more money. We are employed in getting out the cocoa and getting and making
it. It makes a benefit. But I agree, but there is a difference to all of this. to get anything like that done, we should think of ourselves. We just can't think of the government of coming down here and building us a cocoa plant. We got to organize it for one. It's like in the cattle area, the people organize to have a processing plant, and the government might finance, part finance the program, and some other institution, maybe they're interested in buying and shipping out the meat, will make some investment. Mm-hmm. And help them out. Maybe they charge them a low percentage during so many years, using so many thousand colonies to pay so much amount until they get out of that debt. But if the people around here, cocoa farmers, don't organize, if there is in the future any processing plant, it will be here by foreigners. And that's who is going to get the benefit. You know, merchants all the way make more benefit than the farmers. Yeah. That's the man that always makes the money, because he can calculate his margin low but steady. The farmer is always on the losers. Mm-hmm. He has no margin to calculate him.
No.
The price might go up and it might go down. The processor, maybe you would say, in buying cocoa, I must earn 15%, and in selling it by exportation, I suppose to make 30%. Then you say you make 40%. The farmer doesn't know what margin to calculate. For the little technical assistance that they really give to the farmer is spraying to protect the crop. And the fungicides are very expensive, the insecticides are very expensive, and the cocoa price goes ups and downs. Really, right now we can't do much of a crime. But maybe in the future, you know what, it goes ups and downs, it might go down and we start crying again. So we have no margin to calculate.
Mm-hmm. That's always the problem with the farmer. He doesn't call the shots. He's not the boss. He does his work and hopes that things go well, but he can't control it, and that is the risk of being.
Somebody says play ball and he starts playing, but he don't know where he's going to end, if he's going to lose or win.
That's right.
I just come up there.
That's right. And that's the risk, I guess, that's involved in farming, and there are some people who love that risk and love the experience of farming, and others.
Well, I really love it too, Paul. What's your problem? He said my responsibility got so big, I got to stop gambling on a losing basis.
Yeah, I understand.
I love it. It's much fun, but you can't keep up with all the time, especially raising kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you can think of that you think is important?
Well, the local youth haven't demonstrated any interest in raising cattle either. Each time an old man back out or he dies, whatever cattle he has been sold out, and the property too being sold out, no young man can say, well, boy, that too cold, my dad left and I'm going to finish raising them. There aren't any youth, well, right now, there may be, but I don't know a young man around here that has 25 to 30 years of age can say, I got 5 cows that I bought. Mm-hmm. There could be, but I don't know that.
I know Noel McLeod, Mr. Spencer's stepson, is working down by Tuba Creek.
Yeah, he started raising some cows. Yeah, really.
But he may be the only one.
But that's the only one that I really know of. That's really trying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, otherwise, I don't know of any. There are land where you can raise cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't demonstrated much of an interest. Then, other income that they could have, take for instance, raising pigs is being looked on as something really mean to live by.
Okay.
Nobody wants to raise pig. Pig has a good price.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in other parts of the country, there are guys that have been millionaires by raising pigs. Mm-hmm. Because they raise them out of the surplus products of the farm. Mm-hmm. So they make something of the grains that's being produced on the farm and whatever food product they got, and the surplus they give to the pig. They don't lose it and it still makes money. Mm-hmm. Around here they don't show no interest in that.
I'll tell you what.
Cahuita is the lumber industry and handcrafting. Everybody, almost around here, handcraft. It's just this guy here, what's his name, Rolando. When he called me come, that's the only guy I really see that tried to do something on the handcrafting. But lumber industry in general is very poor around here. It is true that it takes some money, but it doesn't take a lot of money to start doing a lumber business. The problem is that around here, in comparison to other places, everybody is failing to make 5 or 6,000 colons a month if they're going to go into business. And it doesn't figure that you got to start from below so as to reach the top. So by that means, we lose a lot of good lumber in the woods, using lumber and lumber products.
But you see that as a possibility if somebody had it in mind to, or had a little money saved up to be able to put into a business, you see that
he can
that
make
would be a way of
making a living. Even a lumber deposit. But he can. The problem is that everybody can depend on living in the same way. If Tom produced cabbage, I even want to produce cabbage too because it makes a good living off it. While there's something that's been wasted and what you can make more money on, and so people need it too. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs lumber for one thing or the other. Mm-hmm. It's even better than just using plain plywood. Mm-hmm. Or somebody has to start working on it.
Do you know the history of this Catholic Church? I know that Amelia always goes to the Catholic Church.
Well, I really don't know much about the Catholic Church. The most thing that I really didn't know is there is a lot here in Cahuita somewhere, I don't know where, but when this place was being founded, there was a lot for the Catholic Church and other houses were being built upon the lot.
It was set aside by the government when they when they made the blocks?
There were public lots for, I don't know if market was included, but I know park was included in plus Catholic Church.
Park and a Catholic church.
Yeah, a park. And you got a church and the bar ground is still there. I don't know why that a public lot was there too. Plus, where the delegation is, it's another public lot. And if there are others that's on the map, I really don't know. Well, what I know about this Catholic church is a lady named Rosario Hash that gave the lot to build the church. Well, maybe they wanted it, you know, with Catholic Church, I think the church faced the east or something like that. But they wanted a lot of that was being better, that they can set the church better. Somebody make a change and give them that lot. So that's how the church come built here. I don't know where the funds come from, where it's from the Vatican or from the government. But when I came here, I saw a built church.
It was already built in 1963.
Yeah, around the time. Maybe even after, I think, around 62, 63, something around there, 63 to 64.
But the lot that they originally set aside for the park and for the Catholic Church, people just...
Somebody is on that lot, right? No, some houses on it. But really, most of the people on here, maybe some of the real old set could tell you where the church is. Mm-hmm. And where the church lot is. And most of the people know very little about how these lots were being situated.
Probably there was a lot for the school, too, don't you think?
Yeah, the school lot were being donated. I don't know by who, but somebody donated the school lot. That's just where it is now. But usually churches, schools, parks, and battleground were always near. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how come this battleground is way outside here, but it's there. Mm-hmm. Which one of these that around the school is for the church, and which one for the park, I don't know. But it's got to be one of the lots around here. That's been near the school, diagonal to the school, some one of them. One of them got to be the park, one of them got to be the church lot. Mm-hmm. That's the way they used to do it in the days gone. Mm-hmm.
I had never heard that either. Do you suppose that there's an old map around someplace that has those original lots?
I think the messing up started maybe from Limon. Being Limon was the... Kawita was part of the central county of Limon. Well, they didn't care much about these places on the outside here, like Kawita, Puerto Vio, Manzanilla, and such. They might hear something about Kawita once a week or once a month. So I never care much about these places down here, more than getting the products from here. Mm-hmm. Which were an income for the port. Mm-hmm. So nobody really cared much about what happens around here, who takes what and who have what. People put in for a lot and, well, you don't got a house? No. And a while that's so, if nobody build on it, no. Okay, then sign here and you go and build it. It doesn't mind where the lot is. So. Mm-hmm. You get a permission to build a house. Mm-hmm. Whether it be in a park lot, a church lot, a school lot, as long as it doesn't appear anywhere inside here, and nobody put no claims against it, but it just did. Mm-hmm. It's until the last days people begin to have some interest in where the burial ground should be, where the cemetery should be, or the school, churches, battleground, parks, and so on, different types of public lands.
Was that cemetery out there where it is now when you first came here?
Yeah, it's the same place.
About your idea about the oranges.
I said, take for instance the orange crop that were being lost from last year till now. We lose most of the crop while there was an overproduction. If there were a processing plant, these oranges could be used up and being sold to the community, supplying them with more vitamin, which is really needed. Instead, the Dos Pinos Company buy oranges all around the Atlantic zone and other places, take it to their plant in San Jose, process it, and come and sell the juice back to these same people that have an orange tree in their yard that will go to the shop and buy a pack of oranges.
That's another good point about the blue crabs.
Take for instance, these blue crabs that run around on our street and on our beaches, we can't mash them on the highway, and we kill them out in the yard from eating down our crabs and going on in toilet holes and wells. Those crabs can be eaten, but not at the way they are living. And I think that in the near future, the people who are resident of Kawita will have to go to buy those crabs from a foreigner to eat, for he will raise them.
Okay.
Thank you. 1995.
Yeah, I come in Costa Rica. I'm a Colombian, but I grew up in Costa Rica here. All my days in Costa Rica. I've been here in 1995, and I think it was the year, somewhere in February we come here. I don't know if my opinion is American, in February come here. But it's 1995 we arrived here.
And you were coming from where? Coming from where?
From Iron Car San Andres, Colombia. Iron Dream San Andres. Well, my deal was around here on the kind of place was in darkness, not much people either. Most of all Jamaicans people, not much Spaniard. When I came here, just a few Spaniards around, but most of all Jamaicans, most of the people around, but they all died out now.
Mm-hmm. When you came over, do you remember the trip on the boat from San Andres? Do you remember the trip on the ship from San Andres?
I didn't, we didn't came on a ship. My father had owned a boat named Valkyrie, a sailing boat. He come here, he was a captain and had his own boat, was sailing around to Nicaragua, to Honduras, Belize, all those places he always traveled around with his boat. He had a good sized sloop boat.
And what was the name of it?
Valkyrie.
How did you spell that?
I don't know how we spell that. It's a very hard word. The boat was named Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
Yeah, Valkyrie.
Am I saying it right? Valkyrie. Yeah. And what did he do on that boat? Did he carry produce or what did he carry?
Well, in those days he was running products here. People, passengers and run cargoes from all different countries, cargoes. Well, he brought a boat here, making a trip to the moon, carrying some cargo. He lost the boat up this place, a car, not River Bar, the same place, a car, Pencil. The boat gets short here and he loses it.
That's called North River Bar, you call it?
Huh?
You call that place North River Bar?
Yeah, that's not River Bar. The name of that place is not River Bar. They change the name and give it up a heady name, Pencil, but the right name is not River Bar. Not River.
So
a big a river nearby have a big bridge, that's not River.
He ran up on a shoal there?
Huh?
He ran up on a shoal?
Huh?
He ran up on a shoal and the ship grounded, or how did it?
Yeah, it looked like he got short here, was taking some cargo there, some people there was living up not River there named Bonifacio, they carrying on some business.
Yeah.
Have a little store them to sell dry goods, you know. I was a boy, after I came up, young man, say, in my 18s, I always drove cargo from here, make two trips on horse to North River Bar with the same Bonifacio. But sometime me and some other fellas named Harris Gums, young boys all away, hired a horse from the parents and we made two trips to North River Bar. In those days, we didn't have no traffic like now, you know, it was very hard. Even the peoples before, to take the train there, they had to buy the way of this North River Bar to take boats and go and catch the train. By the time the train only run two times a week, run Tuesday and Saturday. Those days, Tuesday and Saturday, I was to go in the boat to have a man, some people living out here, a man is named Wilfred Smith. Family that same Mr. Celestial, he lives out here and carry passenger to North River Bar. He used to charge Cologne ahead to carry him up. That is from the bar truck. Here where the railroad to Pensacola here was 9 miles from the bar top here, 9 miles.
And
you can put things inside.
Okay.
He charged just one cologne to go up, to go from the
railroad? Yeah, one cologne to carry up in the boat to catch the train. They did the train all around two times a week, Tuesday and Saturday. Mm-hmm.
That was in what, about the 1920s?
Well, it's about, somewhere around in 1920. I really remember, even lower down than that, it's about in 18 to 19 series. The traffic was very poor. All the people had the traffic on the beach here, leave here in the morning. Sometimes some people leave here 5 o'clock to walk to catch the boat up here and all those way, you know.
When your father had the wreck out there, were you on that boat?
My father, I don't remember what year. I was smart boy. When he lose that boat, I was smart. I don't remember. But when I come up, my mother told me that my father had a boat on it, get you on the bar here.
But how did you get to Costa Rica? Were you on that same boat?
Yeah, we come on that boat.
And your mother too?
Yeah, my mother and four children with half the time, two sisters and two boys. We come here with my mother.
Did that include Miss Catherine?
Huh?
Was Miss Catherine born then or what?
Huh?
Miss Catherine. Miss Catherine, is it your sister?
He was, when I said he was a captain?
No, Catherine.
Catherine?
Your sister.
Oh, my sister name, one of them, the name DC, one name Bertha, and my one brother name Cornelius Humphries, and I named George Humphries, because all four of us come from there, from Costa Rica, and me from Colombia, and my mother and father. And we land right on this beach, when my mother told me when we come, the sea was calm, and the anchor outside, they have a land shore, and stop by a family, or live up inside, up in the work inside, bush here, named Ben Humphries, was family to me, I was to call that guy uncle. They were living up in the woods there, inside the Kokowagi, up inside the bush there. They have a little ranch built up in there. Well, we stopped there a few days, and I thought my father built a little ranch up just where Frankie House is there.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, he built a little ranch up. They didn't have no zinc-like roof. They built the other house attached with leaf, and things are called rawa in the woods. You beat it out and build it and floor it and tuck it right on with rawa.
Yeah.
Then there's almost a Russian coming over with beer rawa.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't find no zinc house, then there's beer thatch house.
And the ceiling was thatch?
Yeah, thatch with leaf.
With a palm leaf?
Yeah, palm leaf, and then beat rawa in the woods and drove it out. It's a heavy thing. You have to beat it and chop it and get it, have a heart inside. You have to pin out that heart and get it well built and get flatter. You can throw with it and board up just like horse run by it.
I stayed in one of those rawa houses down by Punta Uva.
Huh?
I stayed in one of those old rawa houses down in Punta Uva.
Yeah.
And the people told me how they used to make the rawa.
Yeah, most of all along the coast, those days you didn't find no good building. All is rawa house. We call it rawa house, ranch, I'm calling it. That's the days when we come here in 1905, you didn't find no one got a good thing house around here. Everybody have a little ranch, whatever. Well, a few people too, them days, the place was dark, the whole house. That town there was, you have to got a little trail where you go through and you had a balance is bare or straw, land, you could shoot worry and all these things out there, wild hogs, all them things. But you got some animal in the bush and call worry. People call them wild hogs, but the name of them is worry.
Did you shoot those for eating?
Huh?
Did you shoot those for eating?
Yeah, they eat very good. A good size animal, about that high. But people eat them. People used to hunt. Years gone by when it was wise, people go out roll and hunt and catch them. But these days you can't find those animals. They don't know where they're gone.
Well,
the first time people just go a little ways back in the woods there, you shoot them 4 or 5 whatever. People sell them. You get meat about 25 cents a pound for wild meat. And then when you sell it, I give it to people. People never used to have it hard to buy meat kind and food stuff, like separate planting, yam, yucca. People make it from them. If you ask them for a little piece of yam, tell them, come and get it, and they give a whole back load of you can't carry it. With yam, planting, yucca, and all those things. I see when we was boys coming up, hundreds of bunches of planets spread out at that place called the hole. They did it, both the Marvis back up to take cargo.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the boat come over load from Puerto Viejo with food stuff. You can't take it, people lose all the freight out there. You play yam spy right out here, right at that hole here.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can go and take them. People over there don't scheme. People beggars go and take plant in there, over ripe in there, some vinegar out on the rock here. The boat gone to the man and not coming back. They never run over 8 days come back. Leaves here sometime Wednesday, he won't come back till next Tuesday. Goes on regular. This day was there, sea walk, no traffic. Not even the railroad it put through that time properly. The railroad was just put in through. The company just was put in through. But here there's a weird motorboats run along the coast here.
But the railroad,
first,
when you came here, the railroad was finished from Limon up the Estrella Valley? It was finished to Pamhurst?
When that railroad, no man, that railroad not put through, I forgot what year that railroad put through, they didn't start it yet that time when we come here. The railroad didn't put through from here to Pinto, never started.
No, but from the one from Limon to Pamhurst.
Neither, never started at all. That railroad went from Somerset Way, that railroad did start, but this one here didn't start it. Didn't start it. I forgot what year that railroad put through, but I was a young boy, but It didn't start at time, it was long after it started.
So before that you had to go by sea, you couldn't even go by the river.
Yeah, everything come by beach. I told you I went Boniface to have a shop, pieces of the airtime, the railroad were put through to come to Pensor. They didn't have yet to come to Pensor. Have to take everything, it come by lunch, and then it transfer with horse, carried to a lot of a bar, and carried up the river with like just like flour, sugar, rice, and beans, and all those things. I always make two trips a day, going up here, 13 feet from out, the hole here, the car that plays the hole, and Clara traveled here, me and the next three guys, three of us are on horse. So I'm going to make two trips a day from here to North River Bar.
But then from North River, it went where?
Huh?
How did the cargo get from North River into Limon?
Well, these people come around, not much people traffic. There was very few people living up ahead there, very few. When they want to come to Limon, they come to Covita here and take lunch and go. Lots of people used to walk it too. People used to walk, ride horse, go to Limon in a day and come back too. I know a man on his name, Amos Dixon, he walk it. Go in the morning and come back in the evening. He was a good walker, his name was Dixon. Traffic. At the time they didn't have no traffic. But over there they have a little lunch named Van Warrior. So that boat was running along here, then here. Yeah, a boat named Van Warrior, a little boat.
That was the first one? The first one that started taking cargo and
passengers? Yeah, that same boat named Van Warrior. That's the only boat was taking cargo after some other people dropped in. The same Ceres grandfather bought a little lunch named Kawita, where he was running a little while along the coast here too. Carrying cargo and passenger. A little boat named Kawita, a little motorboat.
Who was the captain of that boat?
Well, the captain of that boat was a fellow named Simeon Hudson. Simeon Hudson, he died every day here, Simeon Hudson.
Yeah.
He was the captain of that little boat. Well, this other boat was running here. The captain was a command man named Jacob Rankin. He was running on, he was working with Mr. Maduro. They have a good business right up where Pasquale have his shoe store, have an ironmonger there, them days. Ironmonger. Sell all kind of stuff. But after what I get, business gone over them and go away. And the headman, the name Mr. Frank Maduro there, he went over to this place. I think it's Venezuela. He died there a couple of years ago. Venezuela, he died.
Did you know a man about a man named Juan Smith?
Huh?
A man named Juan Smith who
Juan
had
Smith.
A...
Yes, Juan Smith. I know him good, man. Juan Smith was running around here. He was playing the boats outside. He was a lunch. He was chopping up a little boat here. And after he don't land all cargo the whole year, going to put over here with cargo and passenger. He was playing with some bird on the lunch and the other sailor didn't pay any attention. They get turned over right outside that place of car long shore. The sea licked them to hell. The sea was heavy there and they steered too near to the shore and the sea licked them. I think a little girl got drowned, but all the rest of people get saved. Juan Smith. He lose a boat. He was a pilot one time in 6 hours over there. He used to carry in boats here with cargo for the company. Them days you have to transfer the cargo with, go with lunch up in 6 hours over there and go to this place to Bridgefoot and load here. So who was the captain that boat? His name, I forgot the name of that lunch. But we call it a race, but they have two tall masts, a little schooner. So he took up a load of passenger from 6 hours in the evening and this same Mr. Celeste told him, he and Mr. Celeste is supposed to be named Juan Smith. Told him, Juan, this is too late now and the sea is heavy, you better don't go. Because Mr. Celeste was on a next little boat named the Canton. All of them used to carry freight for the company, them days, through the bar. And they put it on train and transfer up island along the railroad. And he coming out even and he get coffee at the bar, the sea licking to juice, turn over the boat, but like all the passengers around it, I think. The same Juan Smith was on it, a fellow named Arthur Foot. They only two saved, they swim through. And all his crew, the sailors, them and passengers drowned, a hell of a lot, it boat have a hell of a lot. I don't remember how much passengers was on, but the whole of them drowned on 6 hours bar.
And the two that were saved were Juan Smith and what was the other man?
That one named Arthur Foot.
Arthur Foote.
Arthur Foote, he was on that boat too. One had found one of the passenger, a way to this place, rushed down a way to this place, called Bogsmoat on the Panama, way down to Bogsmoat. She rushed down there, a woman, she gets up, rushed and find her on the beach, a way called Bogsmoat, Panama. That is about, pretty near about 20 miles from Six Over to there. She rushed here, she gets through there to pick her up and bear her.
And what did Juan Smith do after he got away to Panama?
He run away, and he never come back here. He lose so much boat, he go home and put him in jail.
He lost this one out here, and then he lost the one in Six Ola?
Huh?
He lost this boat out here, and then he lost the one in
Six Ola?
Yeah,
well, that time, he could never do him nothing. He went back to Limon, and he get a next job and more boat again, and Chapman going along all right, but after he lose the job, and then now he get a pilot on a boat here, to pilot boat go inside the river here. And he lost, and he was a bad lucky captain. Yeah, he was very bad lucky once. And so when he lost the last boat, he never come back to Costa Rica. He gone put to Panama, he to Colon, and he died over there a couple of years ago. He died about, I'm supposed to die about 3 years now. When I've been to Panama in the war, this last war number twice I'm over there, because me and him was good enough friends, you know, no one another for years ago. This fella go right along, come to here, the barn and grow up along, come right on the beach there. But he's plenty bigger man than me, and this. Yeah, Wang Smith, man, terrible bad, he was very bad lucky. He liked to see work, but he's bad lucky like hell, man. Yeah, so when he threw away that boat, he didn't come long across the river, or he turned his way to Panama, and never come back here no more. Yes, I mean. We need to have it in MDA, but in MDA, even when the place was dark, we live much better, live more happier. You have no MDAs in Covita here, you get, the MDAs they shop themselves sal beef, you get pig tail, you get pig nose, you get big sal pork fat, you get all those things, you get blue nose butter, and things, big things about that. I get a small one weighing 1 pound. A woman long there, her name is Castro, they have a shop just off where this guy living here, but he just over on that hand, where he said, well, you know, she'd have a good business there. Very nice woman, she was named Madame Castro, she was a Spaniard. And she be always buy things here from her. You to sell salt beef, them there, you get salt beef, 50 cents a pound, codfish, 45 cents a pound, real good, all the fast codfish, those codfish have about at least an inch in stick. You don't see those catfish anymore for years, you don't see them anymore. Pig tail, pig nose, all them things, we always get in barrels, salt beef. Well, them they always come from the state, from foreign. All those stuff, all the catfish here come from Halifax.
From where?
Come from England, they call them Halifax, catfish. Halifax, they come in big boxes.